Let's pray together, church. Father, we come into your word knowing that apart from your spirit, there are words on a page. So we pray, O God, deliver to us the truth. Awaken us to truth and give us joy in the truth. Lord, we devote these next moments to you. And we surrender. Lord, speak to us. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. One of the things that I enjoy doing during basketball season is refereeing. And I get to run up and down the court, which I like to do. I get to tell people what they should do, which I like to do. And I like to point out people's faults, which is pretty fun. No, but in all seriousness, I really enjoy the refereeing. It's a fun thing. It's a time where you can help kids grow and learn the game and encourage them to get better throughout the year. And it's something I've enjoyed doing the last few years. Yesterday, I had an incident where a parent was unhappy with the way that the game went. And the coach came up to me, and the parent had been talking to the coach throughout the game. So the coach came up to me after and said, well, I have an unhappy parent. And the parent said, I'm not coming back next year. I'm not going to be in this league because I don't like the way that it's going. And I said, well, what do you mean? He said, well, that other coach is cheating. I said, oh. I thought her problem was with me. I said, I'll back up a step. I said, so you're not coming back because of the way that I called the game today? She said, no, the other coach is cheating. I said, oh. I said, well, tell me a little bit about what cheating is going on, because I need to know these things. I'm supposed to be keeping the rules. She said, well, every time that our team has the ball, the other team tries to grab it away from us. And I looked at her and I said, so you really don't like the rules of the game then, right? She looked at me. I said, well, I said, it's part of the rules that you try to take the ball away from the other team. That really isn't cheating. It's just playing the game. I said, well, but they shouldn't be grabbing the ball while our team has it. And at that point, I realized I wasn't going to make any headway. And realized that she just didn't like the rules of basketball rather than the way that the league was run. So next year, whatever league she chooses, maybe they'll make extra rules for her, but she didn't like the rules. In our Bible reading this week, we found a lot of rules. And if you're keeping up, you've seen a lot of rules, and you see some ones that you go, she's supposed to drink what? And if you've read this week, you know what I'm talking about. There are a lot of things going on and rules. Here's what I have learned through the reading this week is God is God. And it's one of the things that I feel is communicated in the book of Numbers. He's God. And so if you have your Bibles, I want to invite you to open up to the book of Numbers. And here's what I want us to do. And you can be turning to Numbers chapter 15. We'll begin. Numbers chapter 15. Oftentimes, we come before God's rules and we say things like, it's not fair, or how could God do such a thing? And we begin to get angry at the system when truly it's God's commands or God's laws or God's rules that we're upset with. And a step further than that, like this unhappy parent because someone tried to take the ball away from her daughter, we get angry and upset with the rule maker because we think his rules are not in our favor. So what I'd like to do is give you some illustrations that you're not the only one. And I'm assuming that at some point in your life, you have not liked God's rules, God's laws, God's providence, and God's will. And that's part of being fallen human at this point, is there are things that the Lord does, things that the Lord allows, that might make you upset. But I want to draw us today in how to respond and how to view God when things happen that we just don't like. Numbers chapter 15, verse 40. We'll begin there. This is all, let me remind you, in the grander story of redemption. And watch what happens today. So you shall remember and do all my commandments and be holy to your God. What are they to remember? All of his what? All right, he's giving commandments. He's giving laws. He's giving rules. And look at verse 41. The context of this is to draw together. I want you to obey my commands. And here's the reason. Look at verse 41. What's he say? I am the Lord your God, who brought you up out of the land of Egypt to be your God. I am the Lord your God. The Lord does not have a stuttering problem. He doesn't say that he's the Lord twice because he accidentally does, or he can't control himself. He says he's the Lord to remind them of the great truth. I am the Lord. I've given you things to do. Do them. I am the Lord. He also gives them a reminder of recent history. I'm the Lord who pulled you out of Egypt and rescued you from your bondage into freedom. I am the Lord. When we come to Scripture, oftentimes we get angry or upset or bitter in life and people in general, when I say we, because we forget who's in charge. Now go back to this angry parent. And she comes up to me and says, well, you're just not doing things the way that I wanted you to do things. And my job is to enforce the rules as a referee. Not to make the rules, not to bend the rules, but to enforce the rules so that the game is played well. I didn't make them, and I don't change the rules. There's someone above me who makes the rules. In life, when we come to things that we don't understand, we don't like, this is one of the things the Lord is doing for us, is he's saying, you're not the one who what? Who makes the rules. You're not the one who makes the commands. You're not the one who works all things together according to the counsel of your will. You can't do that. So stop trying. I am the Lord, is what he says. Look to me. Life may be hard, I am the Lord. And this perspective will lead us into deeper joy, rather into bitterness. And some say, well, that's just cold, it doesn't answer questions. Just saying God is God doesn't change things. You're right. But it's true. And sometimes the truth isn't kind to us, but it doesn't make it untrue. And the truth is, God is God. As the scripture tells us, our God is in the heavens, and he does what? All that he pleases. We had last night the third through sixth grade boys sleepover, and we played a game, laser. It's called Laser X. It's got a laser gun. You shoot it, and it's got a little receiver here. If you get hit on your receiver, we put them on our arms, and you're in and out. We played games, and you had a blue team and a red team, and we played some games last night, and then we related it to our Christian faith and such, and it was a great time. But at one point during the night, we had a couple of our third through sixth graders who didn't like the rules. Very similar situation. And we had some, and as Jason and I were reflecting on that season, which we had a couple of folks who didn't like the way the rules went. And their response was interesting. Because the patch would turn red. And then red didn't mean necessarily the game was over, but we had said the only way we can tell that you're out is if we see red. So when it turns red, the game's over. Well, a couple of boys, they didn't really like that a whole lot because there were more shots to be taken. But that's the way the rule was established. And so when we enforced that rule, they would say something true. But it's not over yet. I'm not out yet because my thing is red. And we would explain to them, but red is how we know that it is over for you. But the game's not over. I'm not red. No, when it turns red, the game's over. But the game's not over. I'm still red. And I thought about that, and I thought more about that. Isn't that our response oftentimes in life when we don't get our way? But Lord, this thing's true. And oftentimes, it doesn't matter what the Lord says, because we want to have that authority. If I may I give you a secret to peace in the Christian life? And this is not trite. This is not meant to minimize anything. But again, it is true. God is God. And I would say it like this, let him be God. But you don't let him be God. He just is God. So what I'm saying is, you will have greater joy if you recognize that he is God. And when you get in a car accident, or you get a sickness or disease, or you lose your job, or bad things happen, if you step back and go, Lord, these are things I can't control, but I trust you, and you're God, so do something good with it. You're going to be in a lot better place than God. How could you? How could you? Let's keep going. I want to show you a biblical example of rebellion and how it stirs up in the hearts of man. Number 16, verse 3 through 7. We're going to read a rather lengthy story, but I hope that you will enjoy this story and it will draw out to you what rebellion can do in the heart of man, and I hope it will help you guard against it. Watch this. Number 16, verse 3. Let me give you a quick background of what's going on here. Korah was a Levite, as well as Moses was a Levite. And Korah did not like the fact that Moses had set himself, quote unquote, set himself up above all the other Levites. So Korah was one of Moses' brothers who really didn't like that Moses was in charge. And similar to the situations we've looked at with the referees and the games, he didn't like somebody else being in charge. Watch what Korah does. Verse 3. They assembled themselves together against Moses and against Aaron and said to them, "You have gone too far." Now look at what the heart of rebellion does. It's your fault. I don't like what you're doing. You have gone too far. For all in the congregation are holy, every one of them, and the Lord is among them. Why then do you exalt yourself above the assembly of the Lord? And when Moses heard it, he fell on his face. And he said to Korah and his company, "In the morning, the Lord will show who is his and who is holy, and will bring him near to him. The one whom he chooses, he will bring near to him. Do this, Korah. Take censers, Korah and all of his company, put fire in them and put incense on them before the Lord tomorrow. And the man whom the Lord chooses will be the holy one. You have gone too far, sons of Levi." Let me ask you a question then. Who put Moses in charge? God did. When we have that evidence in Scripture that the Lord put him in charge. So who did Korah ultimately have the problem with? Get the problem with God. He didn't like that God chose Moses and God did not choose Korah to be in charge. Y'all get what I'm saying? Okay. He didn't like God's choice. And so who did he take it out of? Moses. Okay. This is what happens oftentimes. We don't like God's choices. So we get angry, and we'll take it out on whoever we can. He couldn't take it out on God, so he took it out on the one whom God chose. And this happens oftentimes. You get angry sometimes, you get jealous, and so you take it out on a spouse, or a child, or a friend, or a church member. Well, I don't like that God has blessed this church member, so I'm just going to talk bad about him. I'll take it out on them. Or I don't like the way that God blessed this person at work, so I'm going to take it out on them. Or I don't like the way that God has blessed this family member, so I'm going to take it out on them. It's a similar situation to what's going on here. Notice the two responses, though. What did Moses do when Korah approached him? Do you remember Moses' response? What did he do? He fell on his face. Verse 4. He fell on his face. Moses took this and humbled himself, fell on his face, and went, wait, what's going on here? This hurt Moses, I would say in a sense. He felt grief over it. A humble man takes comfort in a higher authority when he can. Let me give you this just a bit of application that I see in here very clearly. A humble man like Moses, he takes great hope in that he is under authority. We're all under authority. Every one of us in this room are under authority. As a referee on the basketball court, I'm not the one making the rules. I'm under the authority of the rule maker. As a minister in this church, I'm under the authority of the scripture. We're all under authority. And I take great joy in knowing that I don't have to make the rules. I just share God's word. The rules are there. A rebellious man, watch this, a rebellious man seeks to undo his higher authority. The heart of rebellion is, I don't like the one who's making the choices, so I'm going to try to undo that in some way. That's a rebellious heart. Authority is over me. I don't like it, so I'm going to attack it and try to be my own rule maker. That's rebellion. The humble man takes joy in authority. The rebellious man takes offense at authority. Let's keep going. Verse 16. And Moses said to Korah, be present, you and all your company, before the Lord, you and they, and Aaron, tomorrow. And let every one of you take his censer and put incense on it. And every one of you bring before the Lord his censer. Censers. 250 censers. You also and Aaron, each his censer. So Korah's got 250 people with him, coming against Moses and Aaron and their leadership. Verse 18, so every man took his censer and put fire in them and laid incense on them and stood at the entrance of the tent of meeting with Moses and Aaron. Then Korah assembled all the congregation against them at the entrance of the tent of meeting. And the glory of the Lord appeared to all the congregation. And the Lord spoke to Moses and Aaron, saying, separate yourselves from among the congregation, that I may consume them in a moment. Who's the authority? God. Okay. Who is the humble one taking joy in authority? Moses, Aaron. Who are the rebellious ones looking to undo the right authority? At this point, Moses tells the people to separate, listening to the Lord's authority. And in verse 27 tells us that they do separate. Let's look in verse 28. And Moses said, hereby you shall know that the Lord has sent me to do all of these works, and that it has not been of my own accord. So what is the accusation? Moses, you have lifted yourself up. Moses is saying, let's let the Lord decide. And now Moses is reiterating, the Lord is going to tell us, and you'll find out if it's me or if it's the Lord based on what happens. Y'all, it's about to get ugly. I'm sorry. Moses is enforcing what the great authority has told him to do, and it's about to get ugly. Verse 29. If all these men die, if these men die as all men die, or if are visited by the fate of all mankind, meaning they die a natural death, then the Lord has not sent me. But if the Lord creates something new, and if the ground opens up its mouth and swallows them up with all that belongs to them, and they go down to Sheol, alive into Sheol, then you will know that these men have despised not me, but the Lord. You see what Moses is doing? I'm not going to make the decision. I take joy in the Lord's decision. And if the Lord chooses to do it, we know that He's spoken. I can't open up the earth. Only God can. Verse 31. And as soon as he had finished speaking all these words, the ground under them split apart, and the earth opened up its mouth and swallowed them up, with their households and all the people who belonged to Korah and all of their goods. So they and all the people, all that belonged to them, went down alive into Sheol, and the earth closed over them, and they perished from the midst of the assembly. And all of Israel were around them, who were around them, fled at their cry, for they said, "Lest the earth swallow us up." And fire came down from the Lord and consumed the 250 men offering the incense. I do not think that today the earth is going to open up and swallow those who defy the Lord, as this instance. I don't believe that we are called to go out and pray that the Lord would open up the earth and swallow those who are promoting against the Lord. However, I will say that the Lord can do whatever He wants. And if He does seek to bring curses upon those who are against Him and who teach against His goodness, He has every right to do so. But let me remind you, that's not our job, that's the Lord's job. Can I remind you of that? It's not our job to hate our enemies or hate those who are against the Christian faith. Let the Lord do what He will. It is our job, as Jesus gave us, to love those. Let me highlight a few things for you. Are y'all still with me? This story, it's engaging. Let me give you a few things that I thought about. I just wrote down after this story. One, the Lord chooses His servants. Are we okay with that? Are you okay with the fact that the Lord chooses who will be His servants? Are you okay with the fact that the Lord chooses maybe to bless someone more than you're blessed? Are you okay with that? That's something that you really need to grapple with. Are you okay that the Lord might allow someone that may not deserve something to be blessed in a way that you're not blessed? Or does that upset you? I've met Christian people who really get upset when other people are blessed. I think, why? It is the Lord's prerogative to bless. The Lord chooses His servants. He chooses who to bless. Christian, deal with that. Be okay with that. He's God, you're not. Secondly, there are and will always be those that do not approve and want to undo God's good and righteous authority. We're not going to get away from that anytime soon. Now, as you read this passage, and I encourage you to go back and read number 16, there's more to the story. Even after this, the people come up to Moses and are grumbling at him more. And then the Lord sends another plague against those who still are grumbling after the Lord opens up the earth. And the Lord kills 14,700 people in a plague. Now, to put that into perspective, the Pete Maravich Assembly Center, fully packed, holds 13,500 people. So add about 1,000, or 13,200. Add about 1,500 people to that, to the full PMAC, died of a plague. You think, man, that's a lot of people dying. It is. And friends, I want to remind you, there are a lot of people dying every day in our country, in our culture, in our communities that don't know Jesus Christ. And it is our job to bring the message of redemption to them. Because apart from a change and apart from a transformation in their heart, people are born rebels. Let me give you a message of hope. And as the Lord, as we've seen through the rest of Scripture, I want to give you a message from John chapter 1, verse 12. And it is this: "But to all who did receive him, who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God." This is a hard story to understand. Do you remember Moses? We read about Moses. We've been reading about him for a long time. Tell me what happened to Moses when he was in Egypt. What did he do? He saw an Egyptian doing what? Mistreating another Hebrew. And did he like it? No. What did he do? He rebelled against authority. And he struck the man and killed him and hit him. He knew it was wrong. He hit him. And then ran away. Let me remind you that Moses was once a rebel. This is oftentimes easy to forget as we read through these latter books. Moses was a rebel as well. And I believe that Moses felt that, because we see him interceding for his people. We see him falling on his face. We see him asking, "Lord, Lord, please give grace to them." I believe Moses felt his rebellion and knew who he was, but knew the Lord had redeemed him. Let me ask you something, Christian. Do you remember that you were a rebel? Do you remember the days before Jesus Christ? Do you remember the selfishness? Do you remember the vile things that some of you did? Remember that the Lord has redeemed you. Remember, this is a story of redemption. And even though rebellion wells up within us, even today as believers, God is redeeming you. He is changing you and making you. He's using his word to shave those rebellious tendencies away from your heart. I can tell you, I feel them too. But the Lord is redeeming us. To all who would receive him, to those who believe in his name, what happens, church? He gave the right to... Oh. Never forget that you were a rebel, and in some ways you still are a rebel when we are looking around us and seeing those in sin. May we remember that God's story of redemption, it doesn't end with us. We are part of continuing the story of redemption and bringing the message of hope to people that need to hear it. God is God. There's one more story that I want to share with you, and it's this. It comes in the next chapter, and I'm gonna quickly run through this, and I want you to see once again, the Lord is gracious. And even though many people died and were swallowed up and plague came and all of these things are happening, look at this next story to remind us, not only is God just and will he hold people accountable for their rebellion, but he's also gracious to continue calling us unto salvation. Number 17, verse 2 through 10. "Speak to the people of Israel, Moses, and get from them staffs, a stick, one for each father's house, from all their chiefs according to the father's houses, 12 staffs. Write each man's name on the staff, and write Aaron's name on the staff of Levi. For there shall be one staff for the head of each father's house. Then you shall deposit them in the tent of meeting before the testimony where I meet with you. And the staff of the men whom I choose will sprout." Here we go again. Who's in charge? Oh, Christian, never, ever, 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 ever forget. God is in charge. And he makes the choices. Here he comes, the Lord. He says, "And the staff of the man whom I choose will sprout. Thus I will make to cease from me the grumblings of the people of Israel, because they grumble against you." Verse 6, "Moses spoke to the people of Israel, and all their chiefs gave him staffs, one for each chief, according to their father's house, 12 staffs. And the staff of Aaron was among their staffs. And Moses deposited the staff before the Lord in the tent of testimony. On the next day, Moses went into the tent of their testimony, and behold, the staff of Aaron for the house of Levi had sprouted and put forth buds and produced blossoms. And it bore ripe almonds in a week. Then Moses brought out all the staffs from before the Lord to all the people of Israel, and they looked, each man took his staff. And the Lord said to Moses, Put back the staff of Aaron before the testimony to keep it as a sign for whom? Y'all help me out. As a sign for the rebels. Those who do not rejoice and try to undo authority. That you may put an end to their grumblings, that they level, that they grumble against me, lest they what? Here is the grace of God. He brings grace in this moment to say, look, I'm demonstrating to you again. This is my choice. You can take it or you can leave it. But this is my choice. And he gives them evidence and says, you will die if you continue to rebel against my choice. So let me move this into today for us. God's choice today is that he sent his son, Jesus Christ, to be a ransom for peoples across the entire world. That is his choice. And he leaves to the peoples on all the world, you can believe my choice, you can affirm my choice, or you cannot affirm my choice. It's your choice. But if you choose life, you will live. If you choose not Jesus, if you choose against him, you will die. It's the same thing here, lest they die. It's the choice. God has made it. He has chosen to offer salvation through his son, Jesus Christ. So if you're here today and you've never chosen Jesus Christ the Lord, may today be your day. You're maybe here, and most of you are probably here. You've made a decision to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. And I'm so thankful for that. Our job and our role in the story of redemption is to bring the truth to others that they might have awareness to this choice. Choose Jesus or choose rebellion. Choose life, choose to be a rebel. Friend, may we bring that message. May we bring the message of truth. It's not our job to make the rules. It's not our job to make the choices. It's our job to share who God is, to share his choice of his son. So church, let's get out of these walls and let us share the message of Jesus. Let's pray together. Oh Father, we are all in your story of redemption. Lord, I pray that you help us to each day choose Christ, to choose Jesus, the Messiah. And Lord, help us to bring the message of the story of redemption to our family, to live it out in our families, and to be faithful ministers and partners in this, in the ministry of this church, to do what you've called us to do. Oh, thank you, Lord. Thank you for your word. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.